Christmas fell this year and New Year's Day and all that, so today's the first. So happy 2012 to you. By the way, I don't know if you know, but this is the last year of the world. I don't know if you've heard or not, but the world ends on December 23rd, 2012, according to the Mayan calendar. So make every day you have for the next 45 or 50 days that you have left, make the most of them. Because, you know, for a culture that couldn't predict the end of their own civilization, clearly can decide when yours will end. So, hey, we don't know. We'll see what happens. That'll be a fun Sunday or weekend when December 23rd. That might be a Sunday. That might be a Sunday. Because Christmas and its leap year this year, that is a Sunday. That will be a fun Sunday. That'll be interesting. It'll be the Sunday before Christmas. We'll all see what happens. So I look forward to that. So 2012 will be an interesting year. There's lots of fun things, right? We're going to vote on a new president this year. That'll be fun. Just watching the crazy Republicans on TV has been fun enough. Those guys are very interesting. So I don't know what 2011 was like or 2011 was like for you. I don't know if you like saying 2011 or 2011. There's a debate even on the news on which way you should say it. But it was an interesting year. Lots of things happened. Good things, bad things. I looked on a way to find a video to show you kind of what happened. And there's tons of them out there. If you'd like to go and just Google 2011 in review, and the first 20 of them will be videos that somebody's produced for 2011 in review. Funny ones, inappropriate ones, if you'd like to watch those, you know. There's one, Jib Jab makes one that's really hilarious, but I can't show it to you because there's bad stuff in it. So, but it's funny because it just makes fun of people, really, is what it's doing. But I found one that I could actually get off the internet for free and not have to pay for it, and I'd actually have to produce it myself. And so it's actually made by Google, and so therefore they're obviously promoting their own self, so there's lots of Google stuff in it, and I don't really care less about Google, whether they make money or not. But so I'm not trying to promote Google, but the video was free. And so this is just Google's depiction of 2011 in review. It's about 2.5 minutes long. So let's watch that together. So you really can't sum up a year in 2 minutes and 11 seconds, I think is how long that was. But lots of stuff happened last year. I made a list of important things. Lots of revolution, right? I mean, how many countries in the Arab world went under a revolution and quote-unquote freed themselves from tyranny? There were earthquakes all over the place, earthquakes in New Zealand, earthquake in Japan. There's actually an earthquake in Japan this morning. I don't know if you've heard the news this morning. Nobody died, but there was a big one. There were protests all over the place. There were protests in our country, all over our country. People protesting the 1% because they were the 99. Maybe you're part of the 99 too. I'm not sure. There were people killed in tornadoes in the south this year. Lots of them. Big tornadoes. Affected places where Beth and my family used to live. Of course, you know, William and Kate got married this year. I read a quote. It said that that event produced like 250 tweets a second for the time that the wedding was going on. If you don't know what a tweet is, it's people talking on their phone. I mean, 250 a second. I didn't do the math, but that's a lot in a minute. It's even a lot more in an hour. I mean, that's a lot of conversation about somebody getting married. I think I saw too, there was like in the millions and millions and millions, almost a billion people watched that wedding on TV. That's just crazy. I mean, they're cool people and all. I mean, but they don't even affect the government in England anymore, right? I mean, the king and queen are kind of figureheads, but their wedding produced all this conversation. Like you saw our president say, Osama bin Laden was killed. In the same year that we remembered on the 10th anniversary of the bombings or the planes crashing into the towers on September 11th. And we remembered where we were and what was going on. Here's a fun one for you. Harold Camping in 2011 predicted the end of the world would happen in May. May 21st to be exact. It came and went. So he predicted again in October that it would end. And then that day came and went. And then he had a stroke. And then he decided to recant all of that and decided he cannot predict the end of the world. Which is good. He finally come to the realization that he can't. The Bible's very clear that we can't. They got rid of the don't ask, don't tell policy in our military. You saw that guy went there talking on the phone to his dad. Dad, I'm gay. Do you still love me? The world population, according to somebody's counter, I don't know who's walking around counting these people, but we reached 7 billion people. Supposedly 7 billion people in 2011. That's a lot of people. A lot of people. It takes a lot of money and food and effort to keep that many people alive. We left Iraq. We actually ended a war in 2011 in our country. There's lots of things happened in 2011 on a global scale. We don't live in an isolated culture anymore. We don't just because of information and the internet and just the news and what we live in a global culture. We know what's going on around the world. What happens in another part of the planet that is so far away you may never go there affects how you live your life here now. I mean, when the Civil War started up in Libya, it caused your gas prices to go up. Because people were afraid all of a sudden what's going to happen to all that oil that they own. I mean, it affects culture, everything around us. It happens. There are things that we can learn, but there are lots of things that happened in our culture, in our town, in our city, in your lives and in my life in the last year. So just take a second. Think about your year, if you can do that in about 30 seconds. What was one of the things you remember around about 2011 that you don't want to forget? I mean, it could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing. Something you want to remember. But lots of things happened. I'll come back to that in a second. One of the things that I liked about the stories that I read about and the things that I heard about, one of the stories that I remembered I really don't want to forget. It actually came out of the Japanese tsunami and floods. Because to me it depicts sacrifice. It depicts thinking about someone else over your own needs. Of course, if you know the story, I mean, my goodness, it was all over the news for years, for weeks and weeks and weeks. Of course, we've stopped talking about it because that's old news, but it's still happening there now. Is, you know, they had their nuclear plant that got flooded as well, and then all of a sudden it was started spewing out, you know, radioactive material, and they had to do something about containing that. And so they had these young men who were going to go in and begin to contain and walking through water that is completely just, you know, contaminated with radiation, most likely dooming those men and women who got involved to death. I mean, it was going to have, they were going to have cancer because the radiation was so high. It was so, you know, just a difficult situation. But there were a group of people, these retired engineers, men and women who had worked on the nuclear plant for years and had retired. And it was no longer their job, it was no longer their responsibility. But they came together and said, you know what? We'll go back in and do our old jobs. Because the radiation we're exposed to will most likely cause cancer in our bodies, but we're probably going to be dead before it ever happens. We'll outlive the cancer. So the young men and the young women who were going to go in, they said, you don't go in. You let us go in instead. And let us do that job so that you can have families that don't have to deal with your death at an early age because of the cancer you get. I mean, that's sacrifice, don't you think? You can put yourself in harm's way and be able to walk in and do the work and do the jobs. I mean, that's a powerful story. It's a powerful story. One of my favorite quotes, I actually read it last Saturday when we had our Christmas Eve service. And I really don't think it landed very well, so I'm going to read it again. It's by a man named Vaclav Havel. He was a playwright. He wrote plays for a living. That's what he did. But then when his country was trying to remove itself from communism, he got involved. And he died this last year. And one of the quotes that he had was about hope. I was talking about hope last week. And it says, hope is not the conviction that something will turn out well, but the certainty that something makes sense regardless of how it turns out. That you're willing to get involved in something because you know it's the right thing to do, regardless of how you know. You don't have a clue what's going to happen, but you do it anyway because you know it's the right thing to do. That you understand that what you're doing is truth, it's right, and it should be done. And you don't really care what the outcome is. You hope that it happens. You hope that it has good that comes out of it. You hope that you live through it. But you do it anyway, not knowing what the consequences might be, because you know that it's right. So there's lots of things that happened in this last year that hopefully seem right to you. That maybe is something you should continue to do, regardless of what might happen. And we should spend some time remembering about what God has done and carried us through and what's been happening over the last 12 months as we look forward to the next 12 months. And we'll talk about the next 12 months next week. But I just want to ask you, does anybody have anything they want to remember? They're willing to say out loud that God has done for you in 2011 that you don't want to forget. Yes, ma'am. You started college. All right. That's exciting. That's cool. Is that first time ever? Awesome. No time like the present, right? Good for you. Anyone else? Yes. Yes! That's funny. You're like completely done?
Yeah.
Good for you. That's awesome. Okay. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
My daughter got baptized.
Your daughter got baptized. Very cool. And your daughter got baptized. All right. Very cool. Anybody else? Your son was born. All right. Yes, ma'am. All right. Very good. Yes, Dave. The rehab of the Hope Family Shelter. Very cool. All right. You can clap all you want. Yes, Maki. I'll have to ask him to repeat it because I don't know what he said. He got a new home to live in. Thank you. Thank you. Good job. All right. Anyone else?
I graduated my leadership program making me a fellow of
USC. All right. Very cool. Was that this year?
Yes.
Man, that was something like a long time ago. Do you what? We made it. That we made it. Yes, we did make it. But I like how they promoted themselves, right? Search on. But do it through us, not through Yahoo. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Well, that's great. Well, that's what we can pray for 2012, then. Very good. Okay. So the truth that I've learned over the last year, and I don't know why it took me 38 and a half to 39 years to figure this out, but I think it really took that long, is that you have to show up every day for God to really work through your stuff. I learned something new in 2011. I learned how to play the piano. Now, I didn't learn how so you can actually make me play, because I'm not very good at it yet. But my favorite part about the way I do life is I learned how to cheat through a lot of stuff. So I asked Tiffany, who's not here this morning, how to play the piano, and she showed me a few things, and then I just cheated my way the rest of the through. So I'm going to play a little song that I made up myself. You ready? It sounds like I know what I'm doing, but I really don't. Because that's basically how I do a lot of things in my life. I cheat my way through. I learn how to do the right thing for about that long, and then I don't ever learn anything else beyond that. If I played the guitar for you right now, it sounds a lot like that. Because I've known how to play the guitar since I was 20, but I'm not any good at it. Because I don't practice it. I don't show up every day to practice playing the piano or playing that. If actually I made that up because I don't know how to play real songs. If you actually put a piece of music in front of me, I could play, but it would take me forever. And I don't have the patience for that. I just want to play something, so I just make up the stuff. Because it's easier that way. If I don't have to actually learn it, if I actually have to show up and actually practice it, that just makes me sound cool, sort of. Now, we've been putting Maggie in piano lessons. And was talking with her teacher about the fact that she does a lot of stuff like me. She plays by ear, and she's got a good ear. She can actually hear songs and start picking them out. You know, and at seven, that's great. But if that she spends the rest of her life only doing that and never learning the notes, you put a piece of music in front of her when she's 20, she won't be able to play it because she has to play it all by ear. So we got some little note cards. We're going to start reading the note cards and learning the notes so that you show up every day and you begin to learn stuff. You actually can do something at the end. It's this idea of compounding and building on something. It's kind of like compound interest in the bank. If you take a dollar and put it in the piggy bank at your house, you'll have a dollar the next time you go to the piggy bank. If you put a dollar in the bank and let interest work on it every day, you go back, there'll be more than a dollar there. If you put enough money in the bank and let the interest work on it for a long enough time, there'll be a lot of money there when you're done. If you just put a dollar a day in an interest-bearing account with 5% on it, at the end of the year, if you just put a dollar a day at the end of the piggy bank, you'd have $365 in your piggy bank. If you put a dollar a day in the bank at 5% interest, you're going to have $365 plus whatever the bank is going to give you, which right now is not a lot. But They're going to give you money because they're working on it every day. Every day. It's this idea of building on top of what you know. It's building on top of what God is doing. So 2011 for me is coming to the realization, this understanding that we have to show up every day. It's this idea of discipline. Most of your life is showing up every day. If you're going to be good at something, if you're going to be invested in something, if you're actually going to be a good parent, if you're actually going to be a good employee or a good brother or a good sister or actually a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have to show up every day. Every day. Because there's no silver bullet to life. Because if there was, we would know about it and somebody would be making lots of money on it. Matter of fact, people who have nothing and then win the lottery and get lots of money hoping that that would solve their problem, go watch, you know, the crazy TV shows on TLC talking about the people, by the time they're all out of money, they're broke again. Because it didn't solve their problems. Matter of fact, it probably made them worse. There's actually a passage of scripture in Proverbs chapter 6. So if you'd like to get out your Bibles, you can turn there with me. Proverbs chapter 6. And it's actually this man writing this. He's actually writing this to his son. We're not going to read all the way down. We're only going to read the first three verses. But he's actually talking to his son about how to steer clear of the wrong kind of women. It's actually pretty good advice to talk to your kids about. But we're only going to read the first three verses. He doesn't quite get into the women part till after that. But you're welcome to read it later. So Proverbs chapter 6, verse starting in verse 20. Because I think these first three verses actually apply to everything in life, not just staying away from the wrong kind of women, although it applies to that as well. This is my son, so he's talking to his son. Keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart. Now, that verse, you can take that and go read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, I think it is. And God says the same, Moses says the same thing to his people about God's word. He says, take it and bind it. He actually says, bind it to your forehead, bind it to your heart. Bind God's word. He's saying, now bind your father's commands, your mother's teachings. Bind them always on your heart. So don't forget them. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For this is the command is a lamp that is that this teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way of life. Some of your translations may have the word discipline there. Correction and discipline are a way of life. Then he goes on to talk about stay away from your neighbor's wife and all of those things. But those three verses fit into everything. Your father's word. You can call this your father's word. Your father's commands. Your mother's teachings. Bind them, always remembering them. Always allowing them to guide you. Allowing them to be a light, a correction of discipline. And so, something that I've learned this year is you have to show up all the time. That if you deposit your faith into a piggy bank and you let it sit in your room and you never develop it, when you go back to that, it's going to be as small and as an infancy stage that it was when you deposited it there. Because you left it there and you walked away from it and you just let it sit there. It's not going to grow on its own. If there was a silver bullet to spirituality, we would have found it a long time ago. But there's only discipline. Walking daily in His commands. Walking daily in His teachings. Walking daily, letting allow those things to be a light to your path. And letting discipline be a way of life. Other places in Proverbs it says, "He who heeds discipline shows the way of life, but whoever ignores it, ignores correction, leads others astray." Discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be willing party to his death. That's a fascinating piece of scripture. That's Proverbs 19:18. Discipline your son or your daughter, for in that there is hope. Do not be willing party to his death. There's hope in discipline. Now, this word discipline here is most likely the word for correction. You know, disciplining your child when they get out of line, correcting them. But there's a fine line between discipline and being a disciplined person who always does what they're supposed to do. That's a disciplined person. Or being a person who's being disciplined at someone who's out of line and being corrected. There's a fine line between that. The word means two different things in our language, but they're very similar. There's hope in correction. There's hope in discipline. Matter of fact, this verse would suggest that if you do not discipline your children, you do not discipline your son, as he says, you're being party to their death. You're allowing them to go off, as in this passage we just read, chasing the wrong kind of women. And when you chase the wrong kind of women, according to this passage, it leads to death. This idea that there is hope in being a disciplined person, being a disciple, someone who's willing to get up every day and show up every day. There's hope in that. Proverbs 23:23 says, "Buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding." So we should... I have learned this last year that we have to show up every day. That there's nothing special about coming to church once a week. It's a good thing to do. I'm not saying don't show up. But you can't just do this once in a while. It's an everyday walk. It is actually a way of life, as verse 23 suggests. So we talked about hope, this passage of that quote that I made earlier about hope being something that we do regardless of what happens on the back end. The hope of the world, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, is Jesus. The hope of the world is Jesus. We celebrate His birth because it's Him entering into our history so we can know about Him. Our job, our commission, we talked about our job as a Christ follower is to be a disciple maker, telling people about Him. Go, it says, and make disciples. But that's not just a one-time event. That's a daily showing up. A daily decision to be a disciple. Showing up every day. Regardless of what might happen, knowing it's the right thing to do, you show up every day. One of the things that I want to talk about that was kind of, I find is a victory in our church and our what we want to do as a church, as a group of believers together. We kind of have a calling as we call ourselves Christ followers together. We're working on some of those things. But one of the things we've been doing for a little while now is working with the school down the street. Neil Halfley's just, a few hundred feet away. And there was a clear and evident victory in our work there that happened on Christmas Eve. Now Christmas Eve, we weren't at the school. We didn't do anything on Christmas Eve. There's nobody down there to throw a party for. I mean, there's nobody down there. But on Christmas Eve, if you were not here, there was 82 people at church on Christmas Eve. 82. 60 of those 82, I did not know. I probably knew 20 people in the room. Very, very many of you didn't even come. You guys had other things going on. You know, you had life, Christmas Eve and stuff going on. There were 60 people I had never met. Yeah. It's very easy to write off how that happened. And I can tell you how it happened. Because we had a small little choir of kids sing a song. And you know what happens when little kids sing? Everybody's got to come and make a video of it. Because it's cute. Right? And you want to have that video or that picture of you whenever you were, you know, at Christmas Eve, whenever you were 2 years old or 6 years old or whatever, so that whenever you're 25, you can be mad at your parents for showing everybody the picture. I mean, those have to be taken by everybody. And so people show up to those things. But you can't just land that on that one particular event. Because most of those people were family members of children that don't come to church on Sunday morning. Matter of fact, they're only the reason why we know who those children are is because last August, we showed up at the school to help with their back-to-school party. And we gave away stuff, and we gave away big packets of paper and pens and pencils and all that kind of stuff. And while we were doing that, Jesse sat over there, and Carla sat over there, and said, "Hey, we'd love for you to come down and hang out with us on Wednesdays." And you know what? A ton of kids showed up. Kids who don't show up on Sunday mornings. And then 2 years ago, we were at the back-to-school party. And 3 years ago, we were at the back-to-school party. We show up on a regular basis at the school. So much so that... Where did I put them? Oh, here they are. So much so that we're getting credit for things that we didn't even do. That's how much showing up we do down there. These are thank you notes to us as a church. For an event we did not do. But it was credited to us. This is for the Walk Jogathon. They do a little fundraiser, you know, they do a little Walk Jogathon. The kids go run around the track and, you know, they make money for the number of laps and blah, blah, blah. Because some of us were there, they think we did it. And we didn't. So they're all saying thank you to you and to me for being a part of it. I mean, these kids were, this is in their classroom, they're drawing crosses. One of the kids drew a picture of the church building. He actually got a pretty good... It was pretty good. Yeah, it was Matthew. There it is, see? That's pretty good. Looks like a blue-eyed person a little bit, but... But we show up on a regular basis. I got invited, personally, to the teacher celebration breakfast a couple weeks ago. It was a celebration of all of the good things that are happening at the school. You know, they evidently publish information about, you know, how well the teachers are doing, how well the students are improving on their test scores. They do all of these things, and there was this PowerPoint, and there was a MUSD representative there, and they were all talking about how the school has improved, and they talked about all these. And I was invited for our participation in the school to say thank you. We show up on a regular basis. That is being present in someone's life on a regular basis. That should be what our strategy is down there, is showing up as often as we can to the point where they're accrediting us things that are not even what we did. We didn't even do it, which is fine. I guess I probably should pass those on to the people that did the work. But that's true about you, and it's true about me, and it's true about life. For you to be successful, you have to show up every day, regardless of what it might be. You want to be a successful parent? Turn off your cell phone, turn off your iPad, turn off whatever it is might be, and show up. If we want to be disciples of Jesus, we have to show up.
Every day.
Every day. That's not going to happen in this building. If we want to be encouragers of each other, that means we got to show up in each other's lives. It's not glamorous, it's not flashy, and you can't cheat it. You can't. You can't cheat showing up every day. If you try, it's not going to work. It's like trying to save for retirement when you're 50 and starting from zero. When you only got this much time, it's just not going to work. But if you would have started when you were 20, it would have worked. Does that make sense? I mean, you show up every day being disciplined to do it over and over and over again. As this passage of Scripture suggests, it becomes a way of life. Because when we do that, we begin to build on what we learned the day before, and we build on what we learned the day before, and we build on what we learned today. It's like compound interest. We build on what we learned the day before. And if we just park it in the corner and go back to it only once a year, or once a quarter, or once every, whenever something bad happens, we don't learn anything. Or at least it's from a very immature place. Because we haven't become mature in it. So, as I can't say 2011 ends, it's already ended. Today's the first. But as you look back over the past year, where has God been faithful? Where did God show up on a regular basis in your life? Because He promises that He does. How can that be a place of hope for you? How can you begin to build on your faithfulness, on your discipline, on your ability to show up every day? I mean, moving forward, that is the path. There is no other way. There's no way of getting around it. There's no way of cheating it. It's you start today and you walk until you get to the end, which is not until you close your eyes and don't wake up again. That's what I've learned this year. That's what God has really pressed on my heart and really almost drilled into me. It's unfortunate for me personally, that I've only learned it when I'm nearly 40. I wished I would have been a little more knowledgeable, but it is what it is, and I know it now. So how do I show up every day? How am I present in your life? How am I present in my kids' lives? How am I present wherever God has called me to be? And that's true for you as well. Where is God calling you, and how do you be present there? So He can work and use you in that place. Our worship team is going to come. We're going to close the service. I think a song that makes sense to what we've been talking about. Take my life and let it be yours, really, is what it's saying. God is calling us to give Him our lives and let Him use it. And that requires a daily thing. You daily give it over to Him. So next week, as we move forward and begin to talk about the future as far as we can know it, I pray that this week you'll be thinking about how God was faithful to you in the past and how you can be faithful every day moving forward. Let's pray. Guys, thank you for your wisdom that we find in books like Proverbs in the Bible. God, show us the path that we're supposed to take. Show us, Father, what it looks like to be in connection with you on a daily basis and not just something we do on occasion or when we feel like it. God, I pray you would be with us as we move forward into this year, whether it be the last one or a million more to come. God, that we'd be faithful to you every day. God, that you would use us as a church and as individuals, to be present in other people's lives who need you, who need to hear about you, who need to know of the hope that only comes from you. God, we pray all these things in your name today. Amen.